Bhagavatam 4:25-20. Yadrichaya,
yadrichaya, yadrichaya.
All of a sudden, without engagement, agatam, arrived, tatra, there, dadarsha, he saw, pramada, one woman,
uttamam,
very beautiful,
vrityai,
surrounded by servants.
Darshavi,
10.
Ayatim,
coming forward.
Eka
eka,
each one of them.
Shata,
hundreds.
Nayakai, the leaders.
Yadrechayagatam tatra.
Dadarsha pramadotamam.
Vrityair dashavir ayatim.
Ekai ka shatanayakai.
Yadrichayagatam tatra
dadarsha
pramadotamam
vidyardarshavirayatim
ekaika satanayakai
yadrichayagatam tatra
dadarsha pramadotamam
vrityardarsha virayatim
ekakashata nayaka
yadrichayagatam tatra
dadarsha pramadotamam
Bhattajeevas, Damas Estimadas.
Yadrichayagatam tatra.
Dadarsha pramodatamam.
Vrityadashavirayantim
Eka-eka-shatanayakam
Yadrichayagatam tatra
Vrityadashapadarotamam garden, King Paranjana suddenly came in contact with a very beautiful woman who was walking there without any engagement. She had 10 servants with her, and each servant had hundreds of wives accompanied by them. Purport. The body has already been compared to a beautiful garden. During youth, the sex impulse is awakened, and the intelligence, according to one's imagination, is prone to contact the opposite sex. In youth, a man or woman is in search of the opposite sex by intelligence or imagination, if not directly. The intelligence influences the mind, and the mind controls the 10 senses. 5 of these senses gather knowledge, and 5 work directly. Each sense has many desires to be fulfilled. These are all the wives of each of the senses. This is the position of the body, and the owner of the body, Paranjana, who is within the body. So any comments? Questions? Yeah. It goes both ways. I mean, maybe if you see something and have some experience and that goes to your intelligence, and your intelligence picks up on it and sends it back out to your senses, and that makes you orient more towards your senses, and that goes back to your intelligence. So it's, you know, it's going back and forth. You know. But you can have intelligence without senses, kind of. kind of. Already in the intelligence, there are senses. It's like whether you have a printer and a mouse and a keyboard and a screen attached or not, then the operating system is already everything necessary to run those, right? So it's already there in a subtle form like that. Yeah? Yeah. Then sometimes you've got to load the driver. Right? Yeah. You can do that.
Yeah.
Huh?
Intelligence is the origin of this problem. Right?
Yeah, it's like we gave our whole you know PowerPoint show we gave there. Yeah, Booty is like the operating system. You know, DOS. When your computer loads up, you know, you turn it on. But automatically, when it's hardwired, it has no choice. As soon as electricity starts flowing, it starts like turning certain things on. Then it looks on the disk, a certain sector on it. If there's a disk, it looks in a certain sector on the disk for the operating system. If it's there, it loads it. After that, it's software. It's flexible. You know? And so what does it load? It loads the operating system. And that tells it how to run different programs, how to run the apparatus like that. You can't have Microsoft Word without Microsoft DOS. Huh? You can't work in the kitchen. You know, or think. You can't think without intelligence. Unintelligent thoughts. Maybe some other response happens. But basically, thoughts have to occur on the basis of intelligence. You know, I am black, I am white, I am big, I am small, people treat me like that, that happened. This is all in our subconscious, you know, a lot. You know? It's our body, not buddhi, knowledge. It's on that basis I think, you know. Well, I can never do that. It's too much for me. You know, this is easy for me. I accomplish everything very easily. You know, everybody has their particular, you know, view, self-esteem, view of themselves, estimate, right? And from several lifetimes, and carrying the bigger experiences forward like that. You know? I mean, you know, imagine that Napoleon, when he was born in his next lifetime, also had like, had like, you know, high self-esteem or something. He had some kind of like, you know, you know, in a view. You know, Thomas said that neighbor was born in Sweden, and a dog. And there were two dogs in the house. He wasn't even the only dog. He had to share the position of being a dog in the house and another dog. But still, he was thinking, I was Nehru. He had that, like, you know, he was a Nehru dog. You know. I don't discuss too much about that. You know. One astrologer said, okay?
Just by chanting,
yeah.
You control the mind.
Yeah, it's idea. Sometimes we don't do that, you know. The tongue talks all nonsense, so at least I want to control my tongue. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And somehow or other, maybe the tongue is engaged and the mind is looking at it, the brain is looking at it. So get the brain engaged, and the mind is looking at the brain. So then, yeah, maybe, we control the mind. We can also chant with meaning. And if we're chanting with meaning, then we're controlling the intelligence. Yeah? You should think about this. You should understand it this way. Prabhupada says the basic meaning of the Maha Mantra is please engage me in your service, Krishna. So if we're chanting with that meaning, then our intelligence is Krishna conscious. Yeah? Like that. Yeah? think Prabhupada says here that in youth, a man or woman is in search of the opposite sex by intelligence or imagination. During youth, the sex impulse is awakened, and the intelligence, according to one's imagination, is prone to contact the opposite sex. So again, there's physiological development, and that's also connected to the intelligence. I mean, maybe more than just like casually, the intelligence also is going through maturation, intellectual maturation. It makes the point the subtle body is more fixed than the gross body, right? I mean, you get in your car, you have your whole life because of your intelligence. This is the key to my car, not my neighbor's car. These are my clothes, not my son's clothes. Your whole life goes on because of your subtle body, your intelligence. And also you grow a certain way because of this subtle body. When the embryo is there, it just deals with one cell, two cells, four cells, eight cells, 16, 32, 64, 128, 256, 1,000. It's a certain point it forms a blastula, which is a round ball like that. And every single cell is just the same, whether you're a pig or a donkey or even a serpent, I guess, like that, So it's kind of like being in the bed with your covers over you, and you're trying to, you're half asleep and trying to find your way out of the covers. So you're there. You're there in the thing like that, but you're in this kind of, what's the word, somnambulistic state, like a sleepwalker. So what happens externally is at some point the blastula, some part becomes the head and some part becomes the tail. And they have a hard time figuring out why, because all the cells have the same DNA material and all have the same environments. So why? Our point would be, one suggestion might be, that the subtle body is already there. You already have the subtle body of a crocodile. And so now you want to express this. You want to get your claws out there and get your muscles out there. It's just, you get that feeling. And so because of that, you're pushing on the cells and stimulating certain things and start doing things, and they start organizing along with that and then producing these things, arms, teeth, mouth, gut, all this kind of stuff, So the subtle body is already there, and so it's also going through probably its own maturation, independent of the physiological body. There's studies in psychology we're told that if a mother has smoking a lot of marijuana and drinking a lot of beer, during her gestation, right? And her body is very, very estrogenic. It causes a lot of female hormones like that. So even though the embryo is genotypic male, genetically it should become a male, it will phenotypically become female like that. And so you see some big, 187-pound lesbian on her motorcycle, like that. She says, "I feel like a man trapped in a woman's body." Maybe true. Like that. You have the nervous system, everything else of a male, a man, but you've got this female body. But the opposite, according to their experience, is not true. Highly testosterogenic atmosphere, even though it's a genetic female, it won't become a phenotypic male. So I feel like a woman trapped in a man's body. Something else happened. But the thing is, actually, all these things happen. The Vedas give very good perspective, and the Bhagavatam gives hints even about how these things are happening. Another thing, Thomas was quite mentioned one time, the Pinda Shastras, they talk all about conception and everything else like that, about how to have male children, female children, the whole thing like that. So he even mentions things. It's one thing I was trying to do in my index is compile a list of all the books Prabhupada mentions, because there's many things he talks about. In room conversations, he talks about other scriptures, other shastras, in terms of airplanes, flower airplanes, this kind of stuff. He's talking about, you should use this scripture. So many actual details. But the basic idea is, the Buddhi is real. It's more real, more substantial than the gross body. Female intelligence. You got a female intelligence. It's different. Female intelligence. Tigress. Lioness. Lacunas. Okay? So the thing is the intelligence, So you have to chant intelligence. Right? And that is enough, you know. It was one time I woke up, it was in the temple in Berkeley, and it was way up one area near the temple room, and Mother Sachi Kala was chanting her rounds. It was, I woke up, and it was terrifying. Sachi Kala, that's all his wife. Yeah, she was chanting like a nursery rhyme, you know. little Peter pumpkin eater, how do I wouldn't keep it? She was chanting with intelligence or not. No, we have to chant with intelligence. And everybody has different intelligence, you know. It's okay. But to purify your intelligence so it's connected to Krishna. Right? Your subtle body, right? I'm a mother for Krishna, mothers for Krishna, fathers for Krishna, youth for Krishna. Yeah, you have your intelligence like that. Yeah? So the saying that, you know, the sex desire, sex impulse becomes awakened. So Chanaka Pandit says every young man's years from 18 to 25 are his worst enemies. So the sex impulse becomes the most powerful. And it tries to rob you of all your strength, you know, by different kinds of sense gratification, subtle or gross. Simply thinking about these things, or looking at things that way, intelligence, thinking about them, well, this, that, or then actually just, you know, subtly enjoying the senses by eating these things without gross sexual activity, but still actually engaging in sense gratification, it degrades your senses. And he says, whatever you save from these years is your lifelong asset. Whatever, I'm 25 years old, I get out, that's what I got left. 60%, okay, that's what I got left. 75%, 80%, 100%, doubtful. Because to keep, why are you eating so much? To keep from falling into illicit sex. Okay, you have some more. No, it's just, there's like so much agitation for this. And it's the thing here, this is not like a natural. This is very natural again, because this is what people are supposed to have, supposed to reproduce. Otherwise, what's one devotee couple, probably said before having sexual relations, husband and wife should chant 50 rounds each. So they would do it, and they would look at each other, and they had no more desire to have children. This happened 3 times. They finally just gave up and just did it and had children. But if you go on, this is natural at a certain time. All these things are natural. But also, the other side of the coin is that it's also natural, probably saying that for many men, it's natural just to stay brahmachari. And then for girls, no more natural to have children. But if somebody, maybe one child. Okay. One child, one son. Okay. Enough. My sister has a baby. My cousin has a baby. All these stuffed babies running around. And it's like, there's 6 of us taking care of 6 kids. Okay. It's more peaceful, right? Yeah. I know. So you figure, if I was in Tulsa, my disciple went to, they had 2 children, 2 boys. And they got there, and then they had a big house. This is Thailand, and everything changed, but their salary could live very peacefully. So her sister came to live with them because her husband had died in some religious thing. And then he said it's a lot easier for 2 women taking care of 4 children than 1 woman taking care of 2 children. It's a big difference. Like that. So it's a very natural culture. And so sexual relations, it's a part of the whole thing. At that point, it's all Krishna conscious. It's all very nice. Very pleasant. And some of the brahmacharis, they live in a monastery, near the town, and they have a whole, for example, free medical clinic, and doing so many educating children like that, and orphans, and a very nice thing. They never get married themselves, but they're integrated with society, and they're taking care of all these things. Very natural. But here you hear this, and it sounds very unnatural. Very strange society. So, it's okay. But, other hand, says that in youth, a man or woman is in search of the opposite of the sex by intelligence or imagination, because there's so many books, literature, right? It seems that almost no modern movie is complete without some kind of sexual theme, like that. You don't have to have it. I've seen some, Everyone, if everyone can think of it, they had to put something in like that now. Because it's so like, you know, degraded. You know? I remember when I was a child, there were many funny songs. Nothing to do with sex. Songs about friendship, you know. But now there's nothing like that. You know? It's all different songs, you know, by imagination, by intelligence. You have to read something about it, think about it. You know? And it suddenly exhausts you, subtly. It stimulates your body, your prana, your ojas, subtly, and, you know, exhausts you. And so you've got to drink, you know, take more coffee to get your work done, take, you know, prescription amphetamines from your doctor. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's very hard for people to stay brahmacharis because, in this modern age, you need affection, and it seems like, especially in the Western world, this affection is only between the opposite sex.
Yeah.
And like in the Vedic culture, it's more balanced, You can have other relationships where there's a lot of good relation and affection, and because of that pressure, people have a hard time, staying single.
Yeah. I mean, we think of sexual relations, oh, husband and wife. You know? No, brother and sister is also a sexual relation. You know, yeah, they're opposite sex.
Yeah.
You know? And so, when you talk to you, if your sister's crying in the corner, you're like, what's wrong? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is my puppy dog. It's okay, I'll get you another one. And probably come with me. You know? Yeah, still, it's sex, it's subtle. But still, it's a kind of attachment to that, of dominating, helping, and, like that. And of course, you were mentioning one time, not to move one lecture, that in India, the predominant, sexual relation more is looking at women as mothers. In America, I don't know, in America, like breastfeeding is like finished, and there's bottles and everything else like that. But in India, I think still the idea is that mothers should give milk to the children, and they're allowed to grow up much longer than here. Was on the top of the saying, but Veda is saying until 3 years old or something like that. Yeah, and then you should force the child to stop. But usually, one devotee told me, saw it one time, his little son was like playing with his friends, the mother said, come and take some milk. And he was like looking back and forth, and it was the first time he actually was more attracted to playing than to going to his mother. But finally he decided to go to her, but he said that was the beginning. He started to find other things more enlivening and stuff. But then, so the whole idea is the conception that you think of women as mothers, because you have this relationship. And so you're not surprised if your wife is more attached to your children than she is to you, because you're more attached to your mother than you are to her. Oh, that's perverted. According to your culture, the other culture is more wholesome, a much more natural role. So it's a whole deep thing about psychology and everything else. And all these problems result from that. I imagine Osama bin Laden has a lot of emotional problems with his mother. It's like that. All these things, Sigmund Freud analyzing why he's destroying towers, like that. Why are you destroying this tower, Sigmund Freud? Look at these pictures. What do you see? It's that. This is why all these things go on. The technology again is just to express all these things. Not all these emotional relations and everything else, but what's all the technology worth? All the toys and the guns and everything else. It's all for expressing this. So this is a bigger science, because they don't have anything about it. They don't teach it so much. And so then, this also besides in these sexual relations, brother, sister, mother, son, what else we got? Husband and wife. You also have, friendship. Like Ram and Sugriva. They took a vow of friendship. Right? As far as I know, it's just as binding as a marriage vow. Right? So you see all these, like homosexual relations, because people are afraid of heterosexual relations and everything else. And so, it's okay. You can also have a friend. In other cultures, men embrace and they walk holding hands, like that. I don't know how it is here. We walk across the Boise campus holding hands with another guy, people can look at you. Yeah. Can girls walk around holding hands here?
It used to be like my mother lived in Japan, so they all do that. But here, even talk about mother's hand, they don't know what they look at
as that. Yeah.
affection.
Yeah. So there's no contact, physical affection. Therefore, you're forced to look for it, you know, in the conjugal relationship. There's no other way to have this thing. You know, embrace somebody. You know. Yeah? The touch. So then, therefore, the same thing too mentioned, and then, you know, it's properly developed, like you're seeing in Brahma and Brahmachari relationship. It's encouraging, embracing each other, and this kind of thing, you know. Yeah. So then you feel affection and can talk to people, and you have lifelong friends, you know, other Brahmacharis and stuff like that. You know your whole history and everything else like that, and so you're talking about what happened, they know you. You know. And you say, remember 5 years ago when this happened? You go, yeah. Oh, yeah. So it's, you know, without these relationships, then it becomes, you say, it becomes very, very difficult to maintain these things. But that's the actual natural situation. And then population control becomes very easy. And if you have, you know, 25 men and 25 women, okay, that's, you know, at least 25 children, at least, right? You all combined, right? But if 24 of them also remain Brahmacharis, and one becomes the duke or the count, and marries all 25 women, okay, and they each have one child, okay, then that's only 25 children. So I guess it's okay. Same thing. All right. 24. Okay. Anyway, somehow or other, how it works out. It works out very well. If they have two children each or something. But anyway, it's automatically the population can very quickly reduce down to some reasonable level. And again, because it's not because everybody's selfish to their own children. They're going to have my children. No, everybody shares it. I mentioned this many times. On the train in India, you know, this, you know, second-class sleeper, with Rakhtak, his wife, their little baby, and a couple more devotees traveling. And, you know, people walk up and down the aisles. Guys are selling everything. And, you know, you're on there for a day. Whole day like that, in 24 hours, 36 hours. So one lady came along, she looked at the baby like that, and they just took it and walked away. And I said, well, do you know her? And he said, no. Yeah. And she just took your baby. And she said, yeah, she'll bring it back. It's like, in America, you don't do that. It's like, you know. But yeah, she was just showing it to other people, you know, always a nice baby, you know, it's all very nice. And they brought the baby back and talked a little bit about who she was. And, you know. So it's a different culture. You know, people know, they can judge each other. You know what's happening. You know, like that, you know? So then nobody's, actually one time even told me, they were playing Rakhtak's daughter in the house. There was one professor of chemical engineering at Delhi University, a friend of theirs. And he was kind of joking. He said, you see, one baby is enough for a whole family, keep a whole family occupied. So everybody was playing with her and stuff and carrying on. And she was so happy to have so many people, you know, attentive to her. So in that way, it's, you know, it's a broader society, is much more natural. Everybody I know comments in it's, you know, very difficult to raise children in the West because you have so much pressure, whereas in India you have a broader family. Your mother's there, your grandmother's there, and your grandmother, yeah, I've done this before. you know what happens. About the experience. Okay, that's good. Pancha Ishir Shahina Guptam.
Pancha Guptam.
Okay. Pratiharena Sarvata.
Pratiharena Sarvata.
Aveshaman Rishabam.
Aveshaman Rishabam.
Apraudam Kama Rupinim. The woman was protected on all sides by a five-headed snake. She was very beautiful and young, and she appeared very anxious to find a suitable husband. Now, when you're reading this, if you're actually ready for the fourth canto, when you're reading woman, you should be reading Volkswagen. The Volkswagen was protected on all sides by a five-headed alarm system. It was very beautiful and young and new. Right? By fourth canto, you should already pretty much be in this conception of I'm not the body, but when it's talking about a woman, it's talking about a machine, a vehicle. Okay? Yeah. Okay, the Volkswagen was protected on all sides by a five-headed alarm system. It was very new. It was very new and beautiful. It appeared to be very anxious and looking for a gas, you know, gas station. The gas tank was low, indicating looking for a gas station. Yeah, and that's, you know, realizing this is a body. The vital force of a living entity includes the five kinds of working air within the body. Known as prana, apana, dhyana, samana, and udana. Udana. The vital force is compared to a serpent because a serpent can live simply by drinking air. The vital force carried by the air is described as pratihara, or the bodyguard. Without the vital force, one cannot live for a moment. Indeed, all the senses are working under the protection of the vital force. The woman who represents intelligence was searching after a husband, right, indicates that intelligence cannot act without consciousness. A beautiful woman is useless unless protected by a proper husband. Intelligence must always be very fresh. Therefore, the word apraudam, very young, is used here. Material enjoyment means utilizing the intelligence for the sake of rupa, rasa, gandha, shabda, and sparsha, or form, taste, smell, touch, and sound. So Prabhupada's talking, giving a lot of information in a short amount of space, right? Really concentrated. But he does it many times. This is already the fourth canto, so it's kind of like already heard this. You know? But intelligence has to be very fresh. Right? See, you have to be reading literature, listening to the radio, watching intelligence, it's all, watching television. It's always refreshing your intelligence. What's happening? What's the latest thing with my sports team? What's the latest thing with these people? What do people think? What's happening? So your intelligence is always, update. You can update DOS today, online by doing this and that, the latest version, Otherwise, your web browser doesn't work because you have an old browser, right? So you try and load some web page and half the pictures don't show up and this and that and everything else. Well, because you're using the 7-year-old browser, You can update your web browser, right? Look at these things. It's the same way. The intelligence has to be always being refreshed. We're hearing new things, studying like that. And then what happens, then it's very active, and it's saying, in youthful intelligence, is this naturally inclined physical thing, to look for these contacts. So, young lady, when she's married, now it's like, the same thing you see. You're married, you start associating with the opposite sex like that. She goes, my wife has all these certain kind of intelligence about things that I don't have. When I was married, been there, done that, okay. Finally, we were traveling all over the place. I had a pickup truck, a panel body truck, 1957 Chevy, right? So, pretty hippie truck, inline 6-cylinder engine. You could open the hood up and tell exactly what everything did. It was so incredible. It was like, here's the pump for the gas, here's the carburetor, here's the transmission. It's wonderful. And then it had a dog. Cat abandonment, and I had a teepee too. On top of the truck, I had a teepee, Sioux Indian teepee. So I was traveling on my wife, and she was kind of taking it like she'd been kidnapped by the Indians or something like that, being forced to go through this. And it was interesting, but at some point she's kind of saying, hey, okay, enough of the traveling around with a teepee. We're going to get the house. So then we got a house, and it was a government, low government housing for like. Kind of thing like that, So he moved in and had kind of carpets, old carpets and this and that. We were there for maybe about 4 or 5 weeks and not much was happening. Then one Friday, she called her sister-in-law, Peach. So Peach showed up at the Greyhound bus station in Sacramento and we went and got her. And Saturday morning they woke me up and, stole my money and put me to work and everything else. And they had us. They made me tear the carpet up, and sure enough, under it was like this hardwood floor. It was nice. Then they went off, and we had to buy paint, and they got pictures and colors and then everything else. It was amazing. By the time we put Peach back on the bus Sunday morning, we had curtains, we had hardwood floors, we had painted walls, and I was just amazed. Like, wow, the whole place had changed. It was like, and she was feeling like, okay, now it looks like a house. So I can see it's a different kind of intelligence. You're thinking about these things, aesthetic things, and it was, And so, other than that, the male intelligence is more rational, goals, get that, do this, forget the frills, what's the essence, So then when you become combined, you become very activated. Yeah, we can do a lot, Now I'm motivated to go back to school and get my degree as a lawyer and make money, don't worry, every evening you'll have a hot dinner, you come home like that, and a sympathetic ear to listen to you. Okay. So it's natural. Intelligence, male intelligence is, you know, looking for female intelligence, and female intelligence probably seen generally as inclined to passion and ignorance, like that, right? Yep. Which means, you know, prosperity, prestige, you know, honor, respect, these things. And then ignorance means sense objects, colors, form, taste, smell, like that. Yeah. And so then combined together, you know, then you have this combination. Yeah. So intelligence here is compared to the wife, because that's what gives us all this ability for material enjoyment. Right? Stree means expanding material nature like that. Yeah. This was Rick and Judy. Judy and Alexis came back from India. They went for the first time with Chaitanya Dasi, Jeff Dagmar's disciples, you know. And they got back and was, you know, had all these suitcases all this stuff, you know. And always taking it out and everything else, and all this like trash, you know, and so on. And he was laughing. He said, "We've been gone for 6 weeks." He said, "I've had this much trash in 6 weeks." And you come back and all three trash cans are overfilled and everything. And like I've had one eating out of two pots, cooking out of two pots, and one plate the whole time like that. And you're back and already we have it. Stuff. He was laughing. Come on, you know. But yeah, it was, you know, usually feminine intelligence means how to expand material life, right? Street, in terms of children, house, society, prestige, like that. And Prabhupada says, therefore, a lady should be careful to take shelter of her husband or her brother to avoid this tendency towards gross enjoyment. And gross, you know, behind every good man is a good woman. Who's behind Bin Laden? You want to meet her? Yeah. Yeah. Look at this woman, God, she could kill people in our community. He's looking at people like that. Yeah, and Macbeth, story of Macbeth. Lady Macbeth, you read the story? No, it's in Shakespeare. Yeah, it's nice to read. You know, she wanted to become queen. In fact, she couldn't stand as being a maid servant to somebody else and so on, you know. And so then she finally kept pushing her husband, pushing his William. Shakespeare could put these things until finally, you know, she said, he's envious of you, or your friend's envious of you, this and that. And finally convinced him, like, you know, and then when the king was staying in their king, in their palace, they murdered him like that. You know, and then they went back to their rooms, and then when everybody found out, they came also and were screaming and crying and have to revenge this. But of course, then her husband became the king, and she became the queen. So very well, Shakespeare's really probably says you can understand Varnashram Dharma, the psychology, men, women, children, everything else. Shakespeare's wonderful. And you can see, you know, this lady was just, she couldn't control herself. It became so, you know, her intelligence was just becoming so powerful. Finally, she just couldn't control herself. And she pushed her husband in to kill his best friend.
She needed to be stronger than that, though.
Yes, she should be. But you begin to see, like, without taking shelter of Krishna consciousness and having this association, no. You discover people do that. They're living in the temple association of devotees, something happens, they can start going outside, and they start smoking a little bit, and this and that, and sometimes they know that what I'm doing is wrong, but I can't control myself. You know? Like that. And so then she became the queen, but then she was like getting more and more, and she was anxiety then, you know, because what she'd done like that. You know? And she starts chastising her husband. Why didn't you stop me? Why didn't you stop me? It's your fault. You should have stopped me. So, and then people are trying to figure out what happened. So finally they have Macduff. And Macduff is the other guy who's in Scotland. They're pushing him to become their leader and overthrow this murderer and become king. But he has a benediction, Macbeth, that he'll become king as long as the Birnam Wood, which is a forest near his palace of Dunsinore, until it comes there. But it's growing gradually. But this means, like, God, it means like generations almost, where this forest grows to his front door. Someone says, "You'll be king of Scotland until Birnam Wood comes to Dunsinore." Wow. Yeah, so then, yeah. Well, it's a very nice story. What's going on? It's worth reading. That here is a drama. And then Macduff is finally, you know, getting an army, a revolutionary army together of other dukes and counts and stuff, and they're going to finally attack Macbeth. And during this whole thing, Lady Macbeth is going more and more, you know, Freudian, psychologically nuts, out of this you know, guilt. And so she has these reoccurring dreams at night. She's trying to wash the blood out of her cloth, because when they were killing this guy, all this blood is splattering everywhere, you know. So they got rid of most of it, but one spot won't come out. So it's this famous line, out, out, damn spot. People are hearing her saying this. She's just like trying to wash out the blood, wash out the blood in her dream. And, you know, she can't get free from her guilt. You know? Perfect for Freud, love these things. You know? So one actress, she was a legitimate stage actress. You know, she didn't do like movies. Actually, she was just starting when she was an actress, she never did any movies. So there's only one film of her, it was very short. And she's sitting on the opposite side of the table from some director, and he says, "Oh, Miss Smith," and she was single her whole life, satisfied in her career, "can you please do something for the camera?" She says, "Okay." At that time, she was about maybe 60 or something, but she looked about 55, 50, you know. So she looks at the table, she picks up a hat, puts it on, picks up some papers, and immediately she's an old lady. She's very powerful, and immediately she's like, "Wow." He said, "Oh, these are pictures of my last trip to with my friend Flo. We were traveling. We went to North Africa. Here's a picture of us traveling on a camel. It's paper, you know. And here's a picture of us doing this and that, you know, and so on." And then she goes on and she says, just remembering it's heavy. She says, "But, you know, I haven't been traveling such much since then. My friend Flo passed on right after this, you know, and so on." And then she says, "And actually they say you can't see things. You can't see beauty. Unless you see it through the eyes of people you love." So the whole thing is about 2 minutes. But in 2 minutes, she creates this whole old lady struggling very bravely to maintain herself without her friends and everything else alone like that. It's in 2 minutes, you know, in 1 minute. So she used to do the stage acting, legitimate acting. So she would do Macbeth. And it came to this point, out, out, damn spot. The anguish and suffering was so intense that people would pass out in the audience. So the director would tell her, "Okay, lighten up." It's like, we all know she's suffering. You know? This looks like, you know. But that's theater, you know, like that. I mean, basically, you need one good movie to make the Hare Krishna world religion. You know, one good movie that people just go, "Well, see it." We saw it. Well, I took my wife to see Romeo and Juliet, the big, you know, theater version. And we were coming in there in the evening, and there were two girls who were hiding behind the seats. And they'd watched it 6 times already, like that. And the whole thing was just to cry. And that was the whole thing. Just, they were enjoying it. Anyway, just enjoying my crying, you know, like that. You know? Because it's, you know, it's over and over again. You see it, you experience and understand it. You know? So theater is very, very powerful. And you know, developing it here as a, you know, as a whole preaching program like that, and going out. For example, if you get the children's programs together, then you can go to different elementary schools. I did that, right? Yeah. The last time we did this, I was there. Mm-hmm. The dance program. If you get a nice drama program together, yeah, you know, just a few recommendations. This is nice. This is good. Then, you know, you can go and travel. You know, these are our children. This is how they're living. This is how they're growing up. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. A whole revolution going on. Yeah. Yeah. So, Macbeth. So therefore, Prabhupada says, you know, there are many things about, you know, feminine psychology. You're reading this thing and you're saying, yeah, that's true, you know, like that. But okay, I'm like this, I'm like that. I'm not a materialistic person. I'm a devotee. 80%. 80, 70%. Maybe, well, yeah. You start finding out how much material desires you have. And what are material desires? Fame, prestige, you know, some influence in the temple, right? You know, Diti and Aditi, they're both demigoddesses, but they want, you know, to be in charge of the temple, right? You know, Diti wants her sons to be the temple president, the head cook. It's a big temple, 700 devotees, and she's so envious of her, you know, other sister who married like the temple president, and, you know, she gets to pick all the $1,000 outfits for Janmashtami and the menus for the Sunday feast, and so she's so like envious of her sister, and, you know, so she wants Vishnu to come and kill her sister's child. Yeah. But they're all devotees. It's all, you know, all in the temple, right? All in the family. It's a famous sitcom. Mm-hmm. All in the yatra. All in the yatra. That is happening. Just take these stories, right? you know, ditti and not ditti, and change into modern people, and you discover, whoa, what's going on right here in this car? Because they're not completely purified. But by these experiences, they become purified. Right? After she saw Vishnu, she didn't want to sacrifice to kill her, you know, sister's children. But Vishnu said, yeah, you already got the thing in motion here. We got to do something. You know? Yeah. So,
so how are the mathas in our devotees?
Yeah.
All the mathas is really like.
Yeah.
Eventually they're going to go away. It's like we think, you know.
Yeah.
As soon as they think they're doing good, then our ego, that's our ego thinking we're doing good. It's like continuing the cycle of mathas and humility and mathas and how long. It's like.
Abraham Lincoln said, a man's legs should be long enough to reach the ground. Right?
So that means our mathas have to be long enough.
That means they're going to keep on coming out until they're gone. You keep on purifying yourself until you're purified. And Makanlal? No, Narayana. Very emotional. You know, his father was an artist and everything else. Like, you know, bigger than life devotee. And very hard to deal with. So Ramanuja told me one time they were in Africa with Prabhupada. They're sitting on the veranda in Indian's house where they were staying, and kind of resting that afternoon, probably sitting there. Everybody's just kind of sitting, watching the beautiful view. But Narayana was going back and forth, pacing like that. Everybody else is sitting there. And finally he stops and turns to Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, will I ever become purified? Like that. And so Prabhupada said, yes, but in your case, it will take a long time. You know? And then Narayana said, thank you, Srila Prabhupada. And sort of pacing back and forth. So yeah, different people have, you know, maybe you're not going to finish it off in this lifetime. You know, I have sannyas karma, right? Maybe I worked on it my last lifetime to get it, you know, because some ways it's good, other ways it's not good, because I tend to be impersonal about things and just, you know, walk away from them, you know, when I shouldn't, you know, I should be a person involved. You know? Everybody has their faults, right? You look at, if you're reading this, well, Prabhupada's always criticizing women. Like that. That's because you're a woman. If you're a sannyasi, you go through, you don't even notice what he says about sannyasis. You know. Because, you know, also many, many faults in sannyasa, ashram, and everything else like that. Prabhupada says, if a sannyasi thinks about illicit sex, it's a subtle fall down. Right? And basically, he should kill himself. It's like, you know, but that means that consciously doing it. More than just the thoughts coming, that's something else. They come. Every single billboard in the world is agitating men and women for these things. Yeah. But if you're sitting there, you're coming and saying, oh, hey, come on, sit down. No, don't go away, sit down. Stay alive. Have a cigar. You know, that's different. You know, and you have to, and it's very pleasurable. You know, for men and women to think about the opposite sex, and, you know, when all the women are laughing at my jokes. You know, how pleasurable that is. You do a PowerPoint presentation afterwards, the girls come up and say, oh, Ayush, that was really nice, really wonderful. Are you thinking about getting married? Maybe not even gross or intentional, but the idea is there. He's very intelligent, and how would it be nice to be with him? And he's about 2 inches taller than I am. You know, if I don't wear high heels, then it'll be okay. You know, we'll look good together. It's natural. It's the whole point. It's this natural point of the intelligence, and therefore you've got to watch out. And again, ladies have to watch out because the mind is very strong many times. You know, the intelligence may be materialistic, this and that, but I'm telling you, ladies are much stronger minded than men. They can fix their mind on something, and that's it. You know, when Mayavadi Brahmacharya said, even Brahma hesitates to put an obstacle in the path of a woman who has a plan. And that even Lord Brahma says, this woman's got a plan. Step back. And she kind of runs out of gas. We'll go and talk to her like that. But right now, she's got her plan. But how to do that? I mean, Manipur girls, they wrestle with men. They have, you know, martial arts with men. This is Manipur. They're big girls. You know? They're good, too. And so, but yeah, you see always in their corner of the rest of the wrestling ring, martial arts thing, is their brother or their sister, husband, their father. And they go back and he's talking to them like, you know, hey, you know, calm down a little bit here, or if you're going to be over anxious and you won't be able to finish the whole thing like that. And, you're listening, like that. Using this material. You use your husband because he's got more intelligence. Hey, come here, sit down, tell me. Okay. Last point. Tomorrow's even better.
Women are more attraction to material things, honor, so what is it that, in society, you see so much of the men abusing the women, how did that, what is that reason that you see so much of that, that men, they abuse the...
Physical abuse.
Yeah, physical, mental, everything.
But it's going on, both ways.
Especially, and also you see how women will go for devotional life, and men are behind, you see, a lot of that in the temple, they're not easy to take to spiritual life. Men easily don't take to spiritual life, not
women. They take to it in different ways. For example, many times, I've heard ladies complaining their husbands will read, and they won't share it with them. They won't, talk to them about, I read this and that and everything else, and he's reading like that. So men may be more involved in reading the study, and ladies like the rituals more, coming, I'd probably say they come in large numbers when there's a ritual like that, and come and participate in just different ways, like that. With the small children, it's natural for ladies to be involved in organizing all that program and the gurukulas, and then some outing for the teenagers. Okay, and the men will go with the bus, and maybe, one lady comes along, or two, maybe five or six men or something. So everybody has their different intelligence and, way of looking at things.
Abuse. There's in India, there's a case where this man is a temple brother, and he abused his wife. His wife had to run away.
No, because everybody in the material world, everybody's abusing everybody else. If I tell you that children abuse their parents, would you doubt that? They use their tools to make you do what they want you to do. They start crying and everything else, and you must serve me, or I will cry and create a complete catastrophe. I won't be good. You won't be able to stay in this program in a room like that unless you do what I say. So everybody has their own particular tool, and they figure it out. This causes that reaction. How can I do that? And so, for example, this is psychology. One thing that's common, for example, is summer camp. An older female counselor will take some younger counselor off in the bushes and do some engage in sexual relations. Now he thinks, oh yeah, this was great. His teacher tells him having sex with an older woman or something like that is great. That was wonderful. How nice. But it was terrifying. It's a horrifying experience like that. So then, there's an older girl, 25 years old, sexually abusing an 18-year-old boy, like that. But it doesn't come out as sexual abuse in our culture. It comes out as, it is. It's a trauma that he has years to get rid of. He never does. Experiences like that. So everybody's, doing everything in every own particular mode of nature and stuff like that. And physically, physically, women also, stab their husbands, there's different things, but basically, there's spiritual advancement, of course, can be any social position. And in terms of social etiquette, we support varnashram, when people ask me for second initiation, ask about that, I say there's no need for this. You can go on with the Maha Mantra, it will take you all the way to Goloka Vrindavan. But second initiation means that you're a lady or a gentleman. What it means, you're going to be a high class person. And so now you have to have a comportment such that if anybody looks at you, just by following your example, they do the right thing. This is how he dresses, this is how he maintains his cleanliness, this is how he talks with people, this is how he controls his anger, this is how he relates to the opposite sex, this is how he eats. So you've got to set the proper example. And if you're going to, Jayananda was out with the garbage and everything else like that. So second initiation wasn't like, the Shudra, externally. Okay. So.
Is that
Brahmacharya
take the garbage in?
No. Because they're supposed to go on the altar. Yeah. But that's just external thing. It's a division of labor. You know? You go to work, I'll take care of the kids. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I can take care of the kids. Women can go to work. But somebody else gets more natural. My nature is to be clean. I'm a fanatic about washing all my clothes, folding my socks, putting them away. It's okay, you're a Brahmana. Do that kind of work. I like getting out there, cleaning up, shoveling the car. Okay, you're a Shudra. Get to work. You know? I can't stand it when people are not organized. Okay, you're a Kshatriya. Get them organized. Yeah? Yeah? And so then second initiation, yeah, then a temple president should be a gentleman. And he should act like a gentleman. Like that. If he's not, you know, there should be some adjustment. And our society should be mature enough to deal with these things. And it's difficult. It's difficult. And, you know, the whole modern world's having a hard time. Let's speak of Islam.
There's a whole bunch of Brahmins in the temple.
Yeah.
And like the congregations are doing their own service, and all
the
Brahmins are like,
well,
I'm not going
to do that without
because I'm a Brahmin.
No. It means they understand what's necessary. You know?
Yeah,
so they do it. Yeah. Brahmana means almost devotee by nature, you know, so they understand what needs to be done. Okay. They just have to do it. But they minimize it, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a Krishnananda Das. He just left ISKCON. Married a very beautiful girl who was also very materialistic. And it wasn't enough. He wasn't making enough money with one job, so he had to get a second job to keep her. And he had, funny thing, he had three jobs. You know, and he still wasn't enough. So finally, he came home, and he was walking in the house there, and he saw her shadow behind the bookcase. The light was there. She had a knife. It was like this big. And she was waiting for him. And I guess she was going to claim some robber movie or something like that, you know. So he grabbed it and wrestled it from her hands and said, okay, it's all yours. You know, I've taken the car. Everything is yours, like that. You know, and just left her like that. I was going back to the Brahmacharya Ashram. But, you know, it goes on, too. I mean, you know, women are, you know, also poisoning their husband, stabbing them and everything else like that. I mean, throwing things. Of course, that's famous, right? You know, ladies start throwing things at her husband. A man said his wife would throw the plates at him. They noticed she would never throw the good plates. The plates like that. When there was recently one devotee said having his breakfast and got hit in the head with a plate. It's like that. And his wife has an argument. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the thing is, you know, the men are physically bigger and stronger using that, you know, so they usually end up with more physical violence like that. Yeah. But then, you know, a sharp tongue is the only tool that grows sharper with constant use. You know? So ladies many times have this, the ability to talk and use words and use phrases and use emotions and everything else like that. And just, you know, so the man is suffering because of this. You know, a much more understanding of emotions and sentiments than a man. You know? So use that in your life to hurt. You know, ladies can say very cruel things like that. You know?
Yeah.
Whereas a man. So I think, you know, it's different ways. And that's part of the maturity of our culture is appreciating all this, you know. Appreciating all these things. It's very sophisticated books. And begin to appreciate these things. And then, wow, society becomes peaceful, happy, prosperous, productive. I mean, what is it now? 70% of the world's population is below the level of basic necessities. They're not starving to death. They really haven't got enough housing, proper everything. Even here. I mean, how many people here really have a basic healthy life, you know? You're struggling, you know, so many hours to work and everything else, you know, more than you need to, really, you know? We need big changes in the way we look at life. And as devotees, we can create bubbles, you know? We can learn these things in our communities. That's what Radha Swami, their success was a social development. They said, our first principle is take care of the devotees, you know? He said, from that, automatically everything else will come. Preaching, book distribution, everything else. Yeah. Yeah. So, Prabhupada ki. Youthful sex desire ki. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Forget it. Done there. Been there and done that. I wish I was a single girl again.